Okay.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to an evening with Father. I give you my peace, and let's start with the prayer. Gracious Father, we bow before you as we step into your presence. We are thankful that you have provided for us through this week, and that, Father, we were able to gather together as teammates and family members to hear what it is that you have to share with us. There are many things that rest on our heart. We have perhaps had a difficult week. We've had some ups and downs, but what brings us, Father, the joy that fills our hearts is the knowledge that you are always there watching us. And though we may be tested at times, you don't give us more than we can handle. We are thankful for all the blessings you have given us in our natural lives, but also, Father, we knock on your heart's door to provide something special tonight for our spiritual side, that we as guardians and family members can come together in a difficult time that comes before us, and that we can be united, working together to help bring the bride home, which is our ultimate goal. And then we too will be able to come home. See the cares and concerns that rest on everybody's heart. I ask, Father, that you provide strength for everybody to carry their load. And if something is bothering anyone, that you will provide for them right now the peace, that it doesn't distract them from this evening hour. We have prepared a lot. We have sought your heart and your guidance, and we are excited about this evening and that which you'll provide for us. Cover and keep the leaders of our church, our country, and all the things that'll transpire in the next month. We pray for everybody's health, their financial situations, but mostly, Father, their spiritual natures too. Thank you for all you do for us. If we have forgotten something, I know you'll cover it. And according to your will, we ask, and in your name we pray. Please hear us. Amen. All right. Excuse me while I take a sip of tea and burn my esophagus. Okay, I spoke with Father this afternoon. He said, "My dearest souls, I love and appreciate you so very much. As we step into this week for the service for the departed time, please focus on your servant's heart. Please spend time with Jesus this week and have him take you into a new realm that needs your help. I expect this from every guardian, please. Now, everyone should focus on overcoming themselves. Try harder this week to control your emotions. Even though most evil is bound, some still roams free. As I have said in the past, mankind needs to be tested. The phases of my plan are melding together from one to the other. Step by step, my plan unfolds. After your president is elected, much will happen, good and evil. Rest assured that I will put in place whom I think is the best for my plan. This is all I will say on this subject. Bind your hearts together as a team in solidarity. Practice the three tasks I have given you. One, protect the bride here in flesh and there in eternity. Two, defend the apostles' doctrine. And three, help bring the bride home. Some of you have received healings from Triland. I shared much with you personally. Everyone has the opportunity to have a healing from Triland. Please give him a little time to recover from his surgery, and then he will have nothing but time on his hands to help you. So ask him. Your faith is in your hands, not the brothers. If you feel it is weak, do something about it. Talk to Triland. Speak to the three of us. Share with your fellow guardians. Do not put yourself on an island. You are never alone. Did I not say that to those of you that have had a recent healing? It has been a dark time as of late with all of that. It has been a dark time as of late with all that has unfolded across the world. But you too are the lights of this world. All of you, not just the guardians, because you bear my life and love. Let it out to shine. Do not shirk away from the moments I craft to put souls in your path for you to help. Do not deny them your gifts. You are also very special to me. Tryland will expound on this later. Get ready to be wowed. My heart aches for the day that we will all be together. Does yours? Do you let this world smother you with negativity? You are stronger than the world, and do not give yourself enough credit. Fight, my beloved, fight. Show those around you that you are leaders and comforters. Give the peace and grace I have placed within you to others. Sometimes I know you forget that you are more than the sum of your parts, per se. You are so very much more. I will slowly open your eyes to see you as I see you, so much more. In the coming year, you will have so much more revealed to you personally, if you seek it. I have invited all of you to come and see us, yet few have come. There is still time. Come, and I will not disappoint you. Some still have not trained with Michael. Be obedient. This is the last time I will speak of it. Please do not cause me to have Tryland check your names off a list. You are all adults. I wish to give you more, but if you cannot follow through with a simple request, then how can I trust you to carry more? Please do it. Do it now. I am always watching you, and your father is always proud of you. If you feel distance between us, it is not because I have moved away from you. You have moved away from me. Come to me, and I will make all new between us. I give you my love, the love from your father's heart, and peace too. Now, be active. Does anybody have any questions or comments? All right. I thought we would do something a little different for a few minutes. I thought I would hold a short meditation session. Some have asked that I would do this, and we're going to. So if everybody will take a deep breath and exhale, take a deep breath and exhale. And get in the center of your mind. Please ground yourself, all seven chakras. Take a big deep breath. As you're exhaling, let go of the negativity in your space. Let go of the aggravation. Ground to the center of the earth. Good. Please stand in the center of your mind. We are all going to step into the chamber where Father is. He is standing in the throne room. Let's create a half circle around him. Take a big deep breath. I ask that we all hold hands. Now take a big deep breath. Father is going to give us his light to clear our spaces. Jesus is personally going to walk around to some of you who feel that you are in a daze or cloudy, or you have been having difficulty trying to meditate. He will clear your third eye. Take a big deep breath. HS is behind us. He is actually stretching his arms across all of us and holding us in his arms. Looks like Stretch Armstrong, but we will make fun of him. Jesus says, put a box in front of you on the floor and think of the frustrations that you've been dealing with. Think of your shortcomings that you've been struggling with and put them in this box. Let go of your anxiety and fear. Focus on the center of your mind. Feel Father's love. Feel Jesus's help. Feel HS's comfort. And relax. Do not fall asleep on me. Father is creating energy balls above all of our heads. He says, take a big deep breath and poke a hole in the bottom of the one above you and feel the energy pour all over you. He said, think of some positive things that you would like in your life, regardless of what they are. You may ask anything of him. He said, it is good to see everybody here. He said, you are all a unique part of my family. There is a lot of pressure that he puts on us. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with the idea of who we are and the tasks that we have. And we feel that we are not worthy to carry them out or to do them. This is why, he said, he continually shores us up in the meetings and reassures us that we can do what he's asked. He is not angry with us. If you felt that Father was scolding us this night, that was not his intention. It is comfort and joy that he gives to us now, and peace that fills our spaces. And as we go forth this week, he asks that all of us share this peace with everyone we come in contact with, living and in eternity. There is a special light that he now places within us that is brighter than the light he placed in our soul when he created us. We are the beacons that shine through the darkness of evil and chase it away with our presence. Even you that are not guardians, he gives this to you. You are all vital to Father's plan. No one is greater than anyone else. No one is given more than they can bear. And he gives us extra strength in this moment that we share together. Take one more deep breath. Bask in Father's light and love. Let it soak into your heart. Anything that is troubling you should melt away in this moment. Because everything you put in that box is now in Jesus' hands. And he will personally spend time with Father to go over every single thing that you and I asked and put in this box. And we will receive answers in a very short period of time on how to deal with them. Take one more big, deep breath. Focus your attention behind your eyes and open them. Okay. How did that work out for everybody? You feel free to talk, say something.
We need to do this more often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was very good.
All right.
Yep. Plus one.
We can make it part of it. I'll just keep it on the itinerary. We can do it every time. That only took 10 minutes.
Great.
Awesome. Yes. I blame Father. It was his idea. I'm sorry?
There were a lot of parallels between that and my healing.
Yeah.
Which, awesome. And Tryland, I didn't tell you this, but in the healing, it came out that opportunities would change with my job, and Father delivered right away. It was so awesome. Cool. The next day, I got a phone call from another location. For those of you that don't know, I'm an instrument repair tech with Meyer Music, which is like a school music instrument or instrumental music store here in West Michigan. And I was supposed to start training with repairing different kinds of instruments pre-COVID. And I got a call Tuesday saying that they want me in the Grand Rapids location, which we live in Grand Rapids. So it's going to cut down on drive time, cut down on gas money, and it's going to help us out a lot.
So, sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm glad we had a box that had no bottom to it.
Yeah. No kidding. Dropped a big load, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I think I might need a bigger box.
That's awesome. Great.
Hey, Tryland, quick question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we're meditating, do we still ground the seventh chakra to Father's throne, or do we ground it to the center of the earth? I know when we're protecting our space, we do it to Father's throne, but I've kind of switched doing it all that way. So I didn't know if that's changed or not.
All six go to the center of the earth, and the seventh does ground to Father's throne.
Every time, no matter what you're
every
doing.
Every time. Correct. Okay. Yeah. Stay connected with Father no matter what. Any other questions?
You plug it in behind the throne or in front of the throne?
I actually plug it into his throne.
Yeah.
I go into the side of the throne.
Yeah. Where he sits, okay. The back of it on the side is where I plug it in.
Okay.
Father just went, there's tendrils everywhere. That's good. Good questions.
Well, he won't trip. He's omnipotent, so.
That's true. And omnivorous.
Yeah.
Okay. For a deeper understanding, I pulled out James chapter 1, the 12th verse. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The heading for this passage is loving God under trials. I don't know about you, but it's been a couple rough weeks personally, and I've been thinking about all of you. And I was thankful that I could give a few of you healings and we could reconnect. But I have to tell you that every day when I pray, I connect myself with you. So you're not ever alone, and you shouldn't feel that you are forgotten, because you are not. Under our interesting tidbits, have you ever wondered why Father caused the universe to form so slowly? The universe is 13.8 billion years old. The Earth is 4.571 billion years old. Now, on a physical part, we know that the reason why it took so long for everything to form is so that we would have a periodic table. It is through time that heat and all of that and energy creates all the different elements that we have. He also created all of the dinosaurs. So as they were wiped out, we now have fossil fuel. The way I want to take this a step further is I was talking with Father and I asked, how many souls has he created? So he said, scientists believe that 107 billion people have lived on the Earth. The math that they use is based roughly on a current population, that the current population is 7 billion peoples, and times 15 people that have passed away. Father said that there has been well over 200 billion souls created, because man doesn't count abortions. They only count people living. Father counts the souls that are created, which means that 14,492,753,623 souls have been created by Father in one Earth day. In a 24-hour period, if Father was held to a time frame, he has to create 14,492,753,623 souls. So if you ever wonder what Father's doing with his day, that's part of it. And that kind of blew me away when I looked at him. Now, in some of the healings, Father had said that he spent decades creating souls and creating specifically some of the guardians that I gave healings to. And for me, I was taken aback, because we kind of think that when Father creates something, he just thinks and it happens. And in some cases, that is true. When it comes to the earth, the animals, the insects, and all the things that are living but do not have a soul, he does it with a thought in an instant. But when it comes to a soul, he literally said to me, "I take precious time." I think I shared with you a number of times where Father has dry eraser boards all over the kingdom, and he's in his special room and he's tweaking those souls as he goes. And he said, so often I will create a soul and I will weigh the strengths and the weaknesses and the gifts, and I'll sit on it for a little bit. And because Father's not bound by time, he didn't say to me, well, I'll sit on it for a million years and then I'll come back. He just said to me, I sit and I think about it and I ponder over that soul and what I feel that I would like that soul to do. And then I come back and I change a few things and I think about it. And he said, for those of us, he spent decades creating your soul, making sure that the gifts he gave you was going to be sufficient for you in life, laid down your paths, gave you your weaknesses, laid in your hearts your strengths to overcome those weaknesses, and then knew that you needed a special kind of faith to be where you're sitting currently today in this moment. He said when he looks at a soul and he feels the time is right, in that instant he gives them flesh and they start to grow and become a living being. He said, this is why life is so precious to me. This is why, as a father, he loves every single soul, because of the time he's vested in that soul. And as parents, you can certainly relate to the time that you have invested in your children, and you always want them to do well. And when they've done something wrong, you want to help them out of the situations. But sometimes, you know, as a parent, you can't live their life for them, but you have to let them make their mistakes. And the nice thing about our Father is that he knows the mistakes we're going to make, and he already compensated by giving us the strengths and the gifts that we would need to work through those issues. But he also decides which parents to give to that soul to. So he knows those parents can help encourage that child. Does anybody have any questions?
It's kind of interesting that this topic kind of came up because I was always curious, and it's actually come up here more over the last couple of weeks about like Neanderthals and those kind of in between them and us from a species standpoint. From a species standpoint, we know there's been other species of humans. Do those humans have the same type of a soul that we have? Did Father create them the same way?
No, the Neanderthals do not have souls. They were basically high evolved animals. That's why when you and I go into eternity, we have never gone into the realm of the Neanderthals.
Or the caveman or whatever.
Correct. They don't have souls. So that was Father's first creation of life, because in the first part of Genesis, it speaks of Father creating man and animals at the same time. And then a time period passes, and then he turns to Jesus and says, "Let us make man in our own image." And he breathes into them a living soul. That's the difference.
I guess I never caught that before. Just putting that little nuance together. Interesting.
Yeah, Father's kind of sneaky that way.
Yeah, it's one of those, one you read it in the creation story and you're like, what? You know, it's just a little snippet and you're like, there's a blip, you know, it's interesting.
Well, how else would he be able to test man's thought that they are superior and we can figure it out?
Right.
Interesting.
Very. Trisus has prepared a portion on the Protestant religion. So Trisus, please.
Yes. Okay. So I have a chart that Fred can share. And Fred, you can keep this up during the time that I'll be speaking, but I'm going to be going back and forth on my copy. I started out to try to compare Calvinism and Lutheranism, and there already was quite a bit on Wikipedia between those two, but there was also a third, which I had never heard about, Arminianism, which is at the column off to the right there. There are a lot of things that I spent trying to read and trying to understand about the three, and you can see that there is subtleties to total depravity. No, it's not that, it's this, and then there's conversion and it's monergistic. And I spent hours trying to understand it to try to figure out to how to explain it, and I couldn't. That's why theologians take years of this argument. And I'm gonna be quite frank and say it really doesn't matter. But for the point of today's discussion, I'm gonna try to hit some topics of what happened during that time period. The Catholics had total control over everything, everybody's life. And Luther decided, and we can all remember from Sunday school or for whatever religious instruction, he was done. And he came up with his opposition, I guess, for lack of a better word. During that same time period, Calvin and a bunch of other gentlemen in Germany were also coming up with up against the wall of why is the Catholic faith the only faith that needs to be discussed. So they came into a similar understanding of what Luther had posted. And Arminianism is actually out of Calvinism. So the gentleman... the reason why we don't hear anything about Arminianists, so to speak, is that they decided not to take his name. Calvin's religious followers took his name. Luther's followers took his name, but the Arminian, let's say the A word, they took up remonstrance as the word. Now, I'll go over at the end what all these religions eventually came to later on, but the discussion, and it was quite heated. And if you can imagine the Pope and the Catholics during the 14th, 15th, and 1600s had total control, and it was all governmental, monetary, not only the spiritual, but basically everything was supposed to come back to the Catholics. And when these different men started holding up their own religions, the Pope got quite upset. And it was, think about how just in our own discussions about what we feel, we see what's going on in our church and how our discussions are. And we're so respectful of the church and we don't want to step on toes of our brothers and our leaders. Think of how close it is for us to very easily go and say, well, we don't agree with them. We're going to start our own religion. And put that in your mind and your heart of where these men came from. They really knew there was something else that had to happen. And they stuck by their guns. And they came up with their rules. And they came up with their commandments, but basically their understanding. And there were huge arguments. And you can see by that table at the top, you know, conditional election. I mean, they got into all the different things to make sure that their understanding was good for their followers. And of course, there was the money that followed in there, of course, is, you know, not everything was perfect, but these men basically during the 1500s and the early 1600s in Europe, almost at the same time, decided that it was time for a different way that souls should be saved. Let me jump back now to Calvinism. The theology basically, Jesus Christ himself was the Word incarnate, and that didn't change. Calvin and the men decided that there wasn't going to be a reliance on the saints and Mary, and that's where we hold over the Protestant belief, is that there was really no reason for that, and they wanted to make sure that the word of Jesus and his teachings were the basis for the religion. That was also like Luther. If you want to read through the paper, there's 7 pages. You can go into some of the finer points that I tried to put down. It's interesting that Calvin agreed with Martin Luther on the justification of faith. He favored congregational singing of psalms, which became a characteristic of the Huguenots in France and the Presbyterians in Scotland, and religions in the New World. There were some other finer points that they disagreed with. That's why he basically created his own religion, because he didn't really agree with everything that Luther had. If you go to the other one, Arminianism, he actually took what Calvin thought and parsed it even farther down. And it's interesting that he died before a synod or a synod could be put together in Holland. So they were willing to listen to what Arminius had as far as a religion, but yet he died before he could do anything. And basically the Remonstrants came together and put together their views of what their religion was going to be. Yeah, thank you, Fred, for going down to the bottom. There's quite a few words that I can barely understand. Pelagian versus semi-Pelagian, denying of original sin, total depravity. These were things that are, I don't know, maybe others that have studied are more familiar with those terms. These are terms that were completely foreign to me. Even in my father's teachings, we never really covered it. Priest Teichman, we really never covered it. We never got into that much, but read about it. I encourage you to read the pages. And if you want, go on to Wikipedia or any Google and you can learn more. But they even argued what Jesus's sacrifice meant. You know, was it for partial sin? Did it mean that we had to do anything on our own? Or did Jesus forgive us, you know, unconditionally, regardless of what we'd wanted? You know, and it became dizzying. I spent all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and all day Wednesday, on and off. I say about 8 hours, and I my mind just split in half. So I just started cutting and pasting and trying to put together what we could use for our purposes. But
we appreciate your effort.
Thank you. I felt smarter for a while, and then I woke up. I'm still stupid. But what I wanted to take out of this is that the Holy Spirit really was interesting during this time period where he whispered, there's a truth and there is an understanding that has to be brought out. And it came, depending on the upbringing of where these people came from, it made them think and it made them question what the status quo was. And that was the biggest part that I took out of this month's lesson, is that regardless of what man wanted, the Holy Spirit and Father was not going to be held down to a set of rules that the Catholics had for hundreds of years. I mean, think about how it is now, 2,000 years later. And I had an interesting discussion with somebody about what the Catholics thought and blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, you know, the Pope is a continuation of being an apostle. And I went, no. Basically, it's a church of bishops, and then they had to agree. And, you know, so even now in our modern time, we can talk about what our faith is. And if they're good friends and good people, you can talk with them and not feel like you're going to get into fisticuffs, right? You're not going to, well, my church is better than your church. But I wanted to hold off to, Fred, if you could go down to the end page in conclusion. His teachings, the Arminians, basically came, not Arminians, they're Arminianists, came up with what our Baptists are and Methodists. It's interesting that they were brought to go down a little bit, sorry, go up just a little bit from the current landscape. There you are. You can see where even coming to America, the different beliefs and what was brought forth in Europe and where the folks there were trying to escape the Church of England, because the Church of England even became very demanding, we'll say, as far as what their religion should be and how much money you should give. And the final part of this, you can see the current landscape of Arminianism and Calvinism is the Seventh-day Adventist, Salvation Army, the Wesleyan Church. I don't know if you've heard about that. There's quite a few of those in the West Coast. Mennonites, Amish. You can see the Calvinists turn into Reformed Baptists, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Southern Baptists, including Billy Graham. So, I mean, we've got all of the different churches. And I often wonder when I was younger, where are these all come from? It's from these three main thoughts and ideas during the 15 and 1600s that where we get most of our modern religions. So does anybody have any questions? I hope not. No.
Well, I've got a Lutheran catechism if anybody has any real hardcore questions.
Say it again.
I said I've got the Lutheran Catechism. If anybody has any hardcore questions, it's been sitting in a box since I was 8 years old. So
nice. Wow.
There's a lot there. You're right, and it's interesting to me. I never had heard of the Arminianism before, even growing up Lutheran, and had never heard of it.
Isn't that interesting? I honestly didn't either, and that's why I included it, because I thought, my goodness, with what was at the end of the lesson, where the current landscape, so many religions come out of that, and it's almost like an addendum, right? Like, hey, well, let's talk about that guy too, you know?
Yeah, and it's always, ever since learning more about and finally becoming New Apostolic, it's always been interesting to me that most all faiths think that once you die, you go right in front of God and Jesus and you're judged instantly. And then you either go to heaven or hell. And I mean, that's what I was raised to believe. So when everybody's like, oh no, you don't go to heaven, I was like, yeah, you do. Like, Everybody knows that, right?
I had that discussion this week with somebody too, you know, service for the departed. It's almost like I had to have a tick sheet of how many people have to remember to pray for. But this person was very upset that the thought that her mother wasn't visiting her. And I didn't want to tell her it wasn't her mother, but her mother died and I know where my mother is and she can come visit me whenever she wants. And I'm like,
Yeah. And that's one of the struggles that I've had with my family, both sides of my family being Lutheran or a form thereof, is they're like, you believe what now? Why would you believe that? Like, how dare you believe that? And it's like, well, because it's actually in the Bible. Like, if you actually read it. And
that's crazy talk.
So I think that's going to be one of our biggest struggles as New Apostolics, not just as guardians, but as New Apostolics. We're going to offend a lot of people because we're going to have to tell them that their loved ones are not in heaven looking down on them. They're in a realm probably standing right next to you. Like, they aren't in heaven and they're not in hell. They're somewhere in between.
Right.
And that's going to offend a lot of people.
But they're also not in purgatory necessarily.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean,
some yes, but most no.
Correct.
There's no purgatory.
Well, I mean, there's a realm called purgatory, but it's not what the Catholics actually believe it is.
We can't pay money to get our loved ones out of hell.
Well, you're muted, hon.
Oh. Wait, we're supposed to send our money to Lauren? Okay.
Yes. Starlight said she would take up a collection.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
No guarantee your loved one will be released, though.
Yeah. I'll never forget when I had an uncle that passed away a few years back, and I'll never forget him coming to me, and he was just freaked out. He's like, I don't understand, because he grew up Lutheran. He goes, what's going on? What's happening? I don't understand.
Wow.
And I had to hand him off to Raphael and said, he'll show you what you need to know and, you know, kind of get you where you need to go. So people are freaked out when you tell them that. And then after they pass away, it gets even worse.
Right. Because there isn't the comfort in knowing what was going to happen to you.
Right.
Which is a great segue for us, because I wanted to talk about Service for the Departed a little bit, because this is the week that we prepare ourselves, as Father said. I have a question I'm going to pose to everybody, but I don't want you to answer it yet until I finish what I wanted to do about this section of our meeting. Does anyone know where in the Bible it talks about holding services for the departed? Okay, hold that thought. I have three texts that I found, but I'm wondering if anybody else has any other idea. So hold on one second. It is 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went to preach to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is of eight souls, were saved through water. The other verse I have is 1 Peter 4, chapter 6. I'm sorry, verse 6. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And then the final one I have is John 5, 25 through 29. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Anybody have anything they'd like to add?
Well, I think that it is absolutely awesome that our Heavenly Father, HS, give us experiences of faith. And you see how Nuke's smiling? One of the first texts that you read came out in the service that we had yesterday for Noah's baptism.
Sweet.
It's amazing. And it wasn't because his name is Noah. It was because we prayed about it and that verse came.
Wonderful.
That's amazing.
This whole topic came up because Starlight and I were having lunch this afternoon and we started discussing different things and different topics came up. And she said to me, you know, one of my biggest concerns is that I don't mislead somebody. Or I said, I've always said to Father, I don't ever want to cause someone to lose their faith. So I told her, there are passages that we can use to shore up what we're talking about. You know, the fact that when you die, you go to heaven. There's nowhere written in scripture that that happens. And I'll always pull out, well, when Jesus died, where did he go? He didn't even get to go to heaven and he was perfect. So if he's perfect, we don't get that opportunity. And then these texts speak of, especially the last one, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, because scripture also speaks that he's going to go into eternity first before he takes those on the day he returns. So Starlight's concern was, I don't want to mislead anybody. I want to be able to back up what we're saying. And I said, here's the perfect example of what I've got. And I found if anybody else has any idea where there might be other texts, because I we got on the subject, she said, is it actually written anywhere in scripture that we have to hold services for the departed? And I said, it speaks of Apostle Peter actually holding services and dispensing the sacraments. I had another conversation with somebody else, and they were a little shy to ask me these questions. And they said, why do we have to help when Father can do anything? And they weren't asking the question being a snot. They were just saying, you know, if he's omnipotent and he can do everything, why would he even need us? And I said to this person, the first thing you have to understand is that Father would like to share his kingdom with us, but he wants to make sure that we are active participants to earn the inheritance that he has for us. He will not give his kingdom to anybody that doesn't have any idea of what it is to be a part of his work, to have compassion, to understand who his son is, to be selfless. I said, he also gives us the opportunity this week for the service for the departed that we can offer help to souls who have no way of returning a favor to us or giving us any help, because that screams Jesus. That is his personality. So when we're told to be Christ-like, I said, this is the opportunity that we can be Christ-like. We can offer help to somebody that can never repay us. And then they asked the question, why does eternity have to come here for the sacraments? Didn't Jesus go into eternity? Can't they get them there? And I said, they can't, because Jesus established the altar here on earth. And when all those that were born prior to that moment passed, Father, out of his graciousness and his love for every soul, is not going to cut them off and go, too bad you were born in that period. Sucks to be you. No. But he also makes sure that there's a specific path that he laid down. And Jesus made the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which means then Jesus established a certain path that every soul has to go, where he said, unless you're reborn out of water and spirit and eat, you have no part in me. I said, so these souls, they go into eternity before they can actually partake of any of the grace that Father has to offer them. They first have to acknowledge that they need help and that they can't do it on their own, because he wants a mutual loving society to be there to help everybody at any time and know that they can fall on Father, who is the leader and the most glorious being of all, to inherit what he has to offer. But unless they fall in and follow all the rules, they can't receive that grace. And that's why three times a year, those souls have the opportunity to come to the living altar and receive word and sacrament. Does anybody have
Trilin? Any
questions? Yes.
Trilin. Yep. Romans 14:9 and Corinthians 15:29, if you can read those.
Hold on a second. You're talking too fast. Romans, what?
Sorry.
Go ahead. Romans
14:9.
1 second. And
Corinthians 15:29. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15:29.
Okay, 1 second. I'm a halfway decent typist, but I'm not that good. Father was breaking bad on me, telling me I was fat fingering in his word when I was typing it out. I said, well, somebody talks too fast. Anyway. All right.
What was the first one?
Romans 14:9.
14:9.
I got it. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Awesome. And then 1 Corinthians 15:29. Otherwise, what they do, or what they do, I'm sorry. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead?
That is the most clear that we have. Mm-hmm. As new apostolic.
Yep. Thank you for that.
It's funny.
And then, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking there's a lot of important verses in all of Christianity, right? But that's a pretty important one, the 1 Corinthians one you just read. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard it before, to be honest with you.
No.
I probably have, but never paid much attention to it.
Right. But these are important scriptures that you and I need to keep in our back pocket for when we have difficulty talking to other people that are going to oppose us. We're not going to get into a shouting match. You can't argue faith, but we certainly are going to come across Bible thumpers who are going to throw things at us. And we have this to gently remind them that here's what we know and our facts. Aside from all of us actually being in eternity, working there, seeing people and having our experiences, but that's just because we all smoke crack. So that's not a valid thing for them, right? Right. Then this person asked one final question of me that I thought was important to share with you this evening. They said, sometimes the brothers say things from the altar that seem so far off. Is it wrong for me to question those things? And I said, no, because the soul knows. If it doesn't feel right, it isn't right. And I said, sometimes it's been my experience that when I'm talking with somebody, or even I even said to my wife this afternoon, I said, I haven't shared this with anybody, so now I'll bare my soul to all of you. There are times where you ask me a question and I seriously do not know the answer, but HS is right behind me and I do not hesitate with the answer that comes out. And then I sit in that moment and say to myself, that is truly amazing that you can use us in this fashion. And I'm sure all of you have had that experience, right? Where you're having a conversation of faith with somebody, they ask a question, and all of a sudden you have such a conviction in what you're saying, but you didn't even know that. This is what Father has armed all of us with. So as he says to us numerous times, you have nothing to be afraid of. I'm going to put you out there. I'm giving you the tools. I'm going to be there with you. Just be active. And even as I was talking with my wife this afternoon, she said, you know, we've discussed being active. She goes, I'm talking to people at work when they have a problem. I'm counseling them. When the opportunity comes up to talk about faith, I do. I said, that is what we're supposed to be doing. When you have a free moment, we need to go into eternity this week and spend some time with Jesus. And as Father gave us this special light, it's our responsibility to share it with everybody that we come in contact with in flesh and in eternity. It's so exciting. I hope you can feel the joy that I have in my heart this week, because a lot of people, they look at Service of the Departed as this gloom and doom, and oh, for crying out loud, I can't watch TV this week and I have to watch what I say and listen to and No. This is a time for you and I to actually hone our gifts, be more active, and be who Father knows we are. And I'm excited that come next year, he's going to reveal to us more things that we're going to see that he sees us as. I don't know about you, but that's pretty crazy, right? He didn't say, I'm going to bear all your shortcomings and let you see how lousy you are. No, he would never do that. He's always encouraging us. And I am so thankful that I have all of this to share with you guys. Does anybody have anything they want to add?
Yeah, I had a question. A couple months ago, Lauren and I hung out with some friends, and they have a past in faith, but complications with churches. I mean, we know the whole thing. Yeah. We got to talking about the difference between other churches and the New Apostolic Church, being that we have living apostles and we have the opportunity for holy sealing. And we talked about the difference between sealing and baptism and why they're both necessary, etc. But I can't for the life of me remember any specific verses that talk about the process of holy sealing. So does anybody know, or can anybody think of verses that would allude to that?
Yeah, I can get those to you, and I can even share them.
Yeah, please.
Be happy to do that.
If I remember correctly, Q, isn't there a little like plastic pamphlet, like wallet size, that the church has or used to hand out that had all the different verses in it, things that we as New Apostolics needed to refer to or to remember? I remember Pete giving me one of those when I first came into the church.
Yeah, we have, I mean, there are a lot of things available. What's interesting is that most of those things we're not using under our current district apostle. And
oh, really?
Almost, yeah. And it's we even have a book that's called Life After Death, which talks about experiences. So there are a number of things like that available, yes.
Is the reason for that part of his move from people saying they see stuff and whatever?
It could very well be, because we're on a list, yeah. You know?
Yes, we are.
And it's unfortunate. And, you know, to get back to your point, Nuke, about sharing, you know, we're New Apostolic and we have living apostles and that. And I think it's awesome that you even got to that step. In the past, when we've gone into a conversation with that goal to tell them all about our faith, we're New Apostolic, you need living apostles, you need to be baptized, then you need to be sealed, and we go to church 3 times a week, and you know, all that stuff, you know? I mean, that's what we used to do. And what I find today is that Father puts me in a position, and then I'm not doing the talking, they're talking, I'm listening, I interject, the Trinity shows up, and they feel it. And then we just talk about what's important to them and how we have this connection. And that right there is a seed. And it's interesting that when we even read in scripture, it's our job is to plant seeds, and only our Heavenly Father can reap the harvest and even make it grow. Many times as ministers, we think, well, I need to do this because I need to help them. Well, no, we can't figure out, we don't know someone's soul. So all we can do is be there for them, listen, give truth, show them love, don't judge, and then you'd be amazed at what comes. And many times it's things that you would never think would come. You go a little bit further than you thought, wow, why would I go that far? Well, because they're open to it and they just know.
That's right. That's right. Don't put limits on yourself. We listened to the Apostle Schmidt this morning. Hold on one second. We listened to the Apostle Schmidt, and staying in the same vein that Q just brought up, he made the statement that in this week, we do not have the power to open any heart, but Father does. And then it's our responsibility to pray for these souls that Father continues to open their heart. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Two verses, Romans 8, 14 through 17. For Holy Sealing, and Peter, 1 Peter 2, 9.
1 Peter 2, 9?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks, Blazar. I guess I can take the week off.
With pay, I'll let Jesus know. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, everybody. Great discussion. Our next team meeting will be Sunday, November 15th, and I asked Fred to pray this evening. Fred, please.
Gracious, loving Father, we come before thee with a humble heart, a thankful heart for this time that we could spend together, not only with thee, but with the Holy Spirit and Christ and also Trilin and the rest of the team. Thou hast given us so many things to be thankful for, and Father, the grace that thou hast given us, but we always want to be humble in it and not lord over people. But Father, we also want to be humble in our efforts, humble in our work ethics, and humble in everything that we do, Christ-like in faith. Even though we say we profess Christ, do we progress in Christ? Are we moving forward? Are we stagnant in our labors? Or do we just go through the motions? Or do we actually strive to be better? As a student, and that is what we are students of thy work and of thy faith. Father, let us continue to move forward. Let us not be like the water that is stagnant and collects that film on it and that stagnant water that will do no good for anybody, but let us be vibrant in a moving water so that those we come in contact with can see that we are different and not in a way that is better than them, but that we can bring them to thy altar of grace. This is a special week, a week that is filled with not only, it's going to be a more difficult week too because of everybody celebrating the Halloween, but Father, it's a special week for us because we want to make sure that we are worthy to be a vessel for those souls, that they can come through us to that altar of grace, and that those that we can invite to the altar of grace through our Father, and that they come and they can participate and that they can see that which we see. Now watch us through the remainder of this week. We think too of Trilin in this upcoming surgery that he's having on the 5th. Be the great physician there. We put faith and wisdom into the hands of the physicians and let all go well according to thy will. Watch those that are veterans. We have a Veterans Day coming up on the 11th. Those especially that are in the military, they gave so much, they sacrificed themselves, and that they have given not only of their all, but they have given everything in their lives in order for our freedoms. Father, too, now we ask in thy son's name, amen.
Amen. One last thing before you all go. Fred mentioned that we shouldn't be that stagnant water with that film on the top of the water. When John and I were young men, my dad pulled us aside and he said, boys, if anyone calls you scum, remember, scum floats on top. Have a great weekend. Love you guys. Take care.
Y'all. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
See ya.